This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
So we are an hour and 2 minutes in. We have 826 people tuning in this evening. Let's go straight on to the, we got a load of questions coming about it. Let's just go through them. Rory says the last two performances have gone backwards. Callum Wright didn't start. Is that a coincidence? Carl Barnard says opinions on Isaka not getting game time. Should he start on Saturday? Luke Hodge says 3-4-3-3 on Saturday. Thomas Smith says, do you think we should involve Isaka in the game against Hull? He also says, should we go all out attack against Hull? It is a huge game on Saturday. I think it would be wrong of anybody at the football club to try and play it down. Just when I know we've had big games on the final day of the season involving relegation. We had one just, 6 years ago, 5-6 years ago. This is different because there is a lot at stake on Saturday. And as I say, it would be wrong to play it down. 12:30 kickoff at Home Park. It will be a full house. I'm sure Hull will bring good numbers as they try and pursue an ambitious place in the playoffs. Gentlemen, what was it ABBA once sang? The winner takes it all. The loser has to fall.
I actually preferred their hit song, Mustafa. Bundu, running down the wing.
Bundu.
That's how that one goes. Yeah.
Hull City, let's have it then. Who wants to take first dibs?
Mamma mia, here we go again. Trying to get the 3 points that will keep us up. I've got to the point where, we hoped Stoke was a blip and then we kind of got the Millwall performance. I think with a bit of distance, we can sort of maybe accept the changes and the initial game plan a little better. I still fuming that changes weren't made sooner. But do we have any basis for confidence that we can go and do anything against Hull? Well, to be fair, we did against Leicester. Was that all down to Leicester being rubbish? I don't think so. Sorry, Rich, I wasn't quick enough for that. I think the club keeps saying about how important the fans are, etc., and it becomes a little bit of a cliche, but anyone who was there for the Leicester game, it really was a special night, and I do feel like
it made some of us cry, didn't it,
really?
Joel? I had something in my eye.
It was very, very dusty, very dusty in there, all the dust being kicked up by that activity. I think that it's really hard. You can't just produce atmosphere on demand, and I find these kind of demands from fans, we've all got to get behind the lads. It's like, we can, but some, nerves are a thing and apathy is a thing, and so you kind of need sometimes something from the team. And I think a lot of people have sort of felt the last couple of games there hasn't been that bite. Like as you said, Joe, they're just go and kick someone just to make myself feel better. It's not really happened, and we maybe need a bit of that to get us going. But I think there is the potential for a really big atmosphere on. It's going to be sold out. It's going to be a lot of people who are half cut or more. A lot of people who are, you know, got the Dutch courage going on, and those, you know, there's gonna be a lot of anxiety. So I think there's the potential for a real tinderbox atmosphere. Will that do what it did against Leicester? Well, we can't say, but we certainly are better at home this season than away. And a part of that is, you know, the crowd. Part of that is the distance we are away. We've covered this ground. I'm not going to, you know, to tread it again. But it's certainly much more hopeful having this game here than away. I think that's, you know, I think that the home park and the fans, we've turned up, I feel, virtually every game, if not every game, home and away for the team. One last effort, and I think that it could maybe give them the impetus they need. Who knows? You know, I certainly don't think the last two performances inspire confidence, but maybe, just maybe, the home advantage, and certainly we can go out as a fan base proud that we've sort of done our bit, you know, for our championship season. If we can go there and bring the noise and back the team and sort of try and give them that extra bit of oomph. But do I see us realistically getting something on the balance of the form of the two teams? I think it'll be a big ask when they're, you know, as John says, they've got something to play for.
Give me hope, Adam.
Oh, well, I'll do what I can, because ultimately, if Norwich City win our game, it doesn't matter what we do. So, hooray. On the off chance that we might actually have to get something, then my opportunity to raise hope is a little trickier, because I think I'm kind of in a very similar situation to Ben, in the sense that if you're looking at this game objectively, and if you're looking at this game without any of the sideshow, without any of the circus that goes with it, then yeah, this whole team is very good. There's a squad together that frankly wouldn't look out of place if this was a squad that, say, Leicester had pulled together. It's one that I think is genuinely excellent. It's got some fantastic individuals. And on normal day, they're going to cause us a lot of problems. Now, this isn't a normal day. This isn't, you know, a run-of-the-mill game for either side. And on the final day of the season, strange things happen. We see it happen all the time. So who knows? I'm kind of in the situation right now where, despite all the moaning that I've done about how we played, particularly with regards to the Millwall game, I'm not necessarily sure I'd make the wholesale changes that we're looking at in terms of the formation, in terms of the style. I think we have to put our trust in it for this one game and this 90 minutes only. We did similar. I mean, 2018-19, we had a system under Derek Adams that was, I won't say the first word that came into my head. It was very bad. But we ended up going into the last game of that season, and you know, Kevin Nanskeville made the right decision to stick with that system, because it's what we know for that big game. And you know, it wasn't it didn't turn out the way we wanted to, but we did win that game. So. And I take that Hull City are slightly stronger than Scunthorpe United 2018-19. But the point still stands. I think having that sort of continuity in this sort of game is the right thing to do. And I hope it's enough. I can only hope it's enough. I know it would be very easy and instinctively I'm doing it myself, thinking it's not going to happen. It feels like the stars are aligning here. I mean, probably Hull drawing last night, ensuring that they've got something to play for, and Norwich probably don't, the worst result for us. And you just think, it's all coming together and it's all going to go pear-shaped on the final day. But we've got 90 minutes to ensure that doesn't happen. And we can only hope. We'll keep our fingers crossed that it goes our way. And as I said at the very start of this spiel, you know, if it doesn't, fingers crossed, Norwich City. And, again, if we get to the end and they have kept us up, I think it'd be really good to have, and I don't know if they exist, but someone like related to this podcast, maybe, who's got like links to Norwich or something like that. I think that'd be a really useful thing to have at that time, just to celebrate. But such a guy doesn't seem to exist, so we'll probably have to pull somebody out in that circumstance.
Are you referring to my friendship with Delia Smith?
Of course, yeah. I knew there was someone. Yeah, stay up. As a result of Norwich, let's get Delia on.
John, I sort of feel like I've said this a few times this season when we've been previewing games. I sort of feel like with Hull, that I actually sort of feel like if they don't get the playoffs, that it's been a minor underachievement for them because they really do have some wonderful players. I mean, Fabio Carvalho should be nowhere near this division, to be brutally honest with you. And I really do think they've got one of the best young English managers in the Football League. Whether or not they've got anything to play for, this is always going to be a tough way to end the season. Am I stupid to think that the prospect of coming down to Plymouth for a 12:30 kickoff on the final day of the season is not perhaps as inspiring as it would be if they were going to Middlesbrough for a 12:30 kickoff on the final day of the season, or a Leeds or somebody like that? Am I wrong to cling on to that sort of hope?
I don't know. I think it's a very difficult game to game out in that sense. And I think this has a lot to do with Hull and a lot to do with what you just mentioned, effectively, because it does kind of depend what Hull team turn up. If their players turn up and play to the full extent of their potential, I suspect we will lose because they are very, very good. As you said, Carvalho is an outstanding player for this level. Philogene is an outstanding player for this level. Delap is a handy striker for this level if inconsistent. I think Greaves at the back got into the championship team of the season, if I'm not mistaken, or certainly was there or thereabouts. Yeah. So they've got some fantastic players. And just like I would say pretty much every single week this season, we're going to be outmatched man for man, you know, pound for pound, quality for quality. However, football does not work like that. I don't want to paper over what have been some bad decisions that have been made this season or say that our relegation was inevitable and sort of feel consigned to it. But we have got 48 points, which I think is actually a quite competitive total when all is said and done for a squad of our caliber, which I think in recent weeks has succumbed a little bit to gravity as much as anything else. But that does mean that we have punched above our weight on occasions this season. It does mean we've beaten sides that are about as good as Hull. And as you said, I think on paper, Hull should be higher in the league than they are, which means that they are just definitionally prone to having some off days. I mean, Norwich have, what, 3 or 4 more points than Hull going into the final game. And we battered Norwich 6-2 at home park. And obviously it's a long season. Norwich have come into their own more towards the end of it. But I believe they were sixth in the league when they came down to home park and we dispatched them. Actually, that was, I think, sort of an impetus for them to go on quite a poor run, as opposed to it coming right in the middle of a poor run. So... and then, of course, there's the Leicester game, which is a much more recent example. Even in this kind of rut that we find ourselves in, we were able to go toe to toe with the best team in this league. And yeah, okay, you know, I think we did have to rely a little bit on them having an off day, just because I think, as I said with Hull, if those players had turned up and played to the full extent of their ability, we'd have lost that game. But that doesn't mean we were bad. Doesn't mean that, you know, the atmosphere wasn't justified. It doesn't mean that we didn't show heart and fight and no little quality to go toe to toe with them. So. We got to believe we can do it again. And I really, really think that we can. I don't think Hull are world beaters. I think they're much better than us on paper, but I think they wouldn't be fighting for a playoff spot on the final day if they had played to the full extent of their potential enough this season. They haven't. So there are reasons to be hopeful, I think, definitely. We also, went up to the KCOM or whatever it's called now, and got a very good point there in September, a game I was at, and we actually played really well that day. And probably, I mean, they had a few chances in injury time, which Connor Hazard did brilliantly to repel. So I guess saying that, maybe we deserve to win the game is a little bit inaccurate maybe, but we had some really good opportunities as well ourselves. And I think Azaz hit the post, could have made it 2-0. Now, obviously, they've had a lot of turnover. We've had a lot of turnover. It's not exactly the same fixture, but we should take heart from that. We should take heart from the fact that the kind of bones of that squad and the bones of ours played a very kind of even competitive game on their turf. And obviously, as you mentioned, this time it's going to be them who are going to have to travel down for a lunchtime game. It's going to be our fans that are going to get the opportunity to make the atmosphere. And, it is possible that after a little new manager bounce under the caretakers, we've regressed to the kind of Foster vibes. It's possible. It's also possible that we've kind of regressed a bit more towards, how Shuey had us earlier in the season, in the sense that actually we've kind of become quite crap away from home, with the exception of beating literally the worst team in the league by a mile. And maybe we've become a bit more competitive at home. It's too small a sample size to really know, but I think that means there is at least some hope that maybe we've just regressed to being a very good team at home and a not so good one away, or at least a good team at home. Certainly the Leicester game would seem to indicate that. So I think we've got a real chance here. I really, really do. And also just the fact it's the final day, mad things happen on the final day. So yeah, I think we've got to keep the faith. It's not me saying that we will win, obviously. After some misconstrued cockiness on this, perceived cockiness on this podcast before, which actually wasn't, but there we go. I don't want to fall into that trap again. It's going to be a really tough game, I suspect, but we've got to believe we can do it. And I think there are reasons to be hopeful. Joe seems to have an intruder.
Well, all I can hear is womp, womp, womp. Let's go through, let's go round the group.
If they have an on-site plumber, you should probably put a call in.
Let's go around the group then very quickly. Just rattle through your starting 11. Don't have to go into great depth as to why. Name your starting 11s. Ben first.
Oh, the thing is that we're not quite sure who's fit. Like Forshaw was purportedly fit for this game. But for Millwall rather, but wasn't. If he's fit and available, I'd definitely start him in the middle with Randall. I mean, John's made a really good case for sort of sticking with the back three and going with what we know. I'd potentially have tried something a little more defensive and put Issaka and Bundu and Whittaker as a front three, with the former two sort of dropping in a little bit, but just trying to break with pace. Just put the three fastest guys we've got. Bundu, maybe not explosive with pace, but he's got wonderful close control. I'd potentially try and do that. But John's made a good case of just not trying to be too clever. Do what we've been doing and try and... So I would probably go with... I would have said Plegg with Wailo, but... I'll go with Pleggy at right, centre back, Scar and Gibson as a back three. Do we want get? No, I'll put Mumba at wing back. I think he's good defensively. Sorinola, if he's fit, again, that's pending, I think. Midfield of Forshaw and Randall, and then front three, take your pick. I really would, I really would like to see Bundu or Whittaker through the middle. I know they're not great target men, but they seem fitter than Hardy to run the channel. And I just don't think this is a game to play Wayne. I think he had his chance to sort of stake a claim versus Millwall and was too lightweight. So I would change it up a little bit. Of course, you can react in game if it's just not working, but I think one of those two can hold, can do something, can compete a little bit for the ball and can run the channels with a bit more energy than Hardy's had. And again, you can always bring Wayne on or even Hardy early doors if needs be. And then I'd bring Hardy on very early in the second half, depending on how things are going. But I really think that, you could make a shout, you could make a claim for any of the attacking players we have to get some time either from the bench or in the starting lineup. But yeah, that's kind of how I would go if I wasn't being a little bit more shoey roulette style and maybe trying to push an extra player into midfield. But yeah, that's why not try Diviner's natural position where he thinks he's an attacking midfielder / inside forward type player, and that's mostly what he's performed in for Tottenham youth teams and also for the England setups when he's played. So Divine sees himself as a more attacking midfielder, and that's where he sees himself. Port Vale fans said, when he was moved back, he wasn't doing great there, was moved back and he was good in midfield, and I think we've all agreed that he's got the tenacity and also the range of passing to perform well there, but I don't think he necessarily sees that as his natural position. It's certainly not the position he's played in up to this point in his career. So if he can, if he's happy to and he can do a job, I think he would have been put there by Nance and Juznip already if they thought that he was the answer there. I'd go Bundu up front, Whittaker on the right, and Issaka on the left, just to get some pace in the team. Everyone else can sit as deep as they want, and then we try and break.
Adam, quickly.
So not too different in the sense that I'm doing the same at the back with obviously Cooper and Gull and the playing solo Scar and Gibson back three. I think that there's a thought about Galloway. Obviously, I'm not necessarily sure how best to get him in the team. So off the top of my head, I haven't. Sorry, Brendan, but I'm sure you'll feature at some point regardless. I want Mumba as my left wing back because we know he likes it there. We know we've got a goal out of him very recently in that position. So why the hell not? Right back, I don't want to go into such a huge game without Joe Edwards playing. So I'm thinking him over Sorinola probably be the first change I'd make from Benz. But again, Sorinola doesn't have the worst record, so I wouldn't be against it either. But I just fancy getting Edwards into that position is perhaps the safest option of the way I'd go. Midfield, again, is exactly the same in that I think Forshaw and Randall. I think having Randall in there, we could probably have an hour's worth of discussion on Adam Randall and his capabilities or otherwise at this level. But I think having him in midfield alongside Forshaw gives us the right dynamic for this particular game, what they'll offer. Up front, I don't want to galaxy brain it. I think I'm struggling over it because we know there's an issue with Hardy with it, niggling injury, was it long COVID? I don't know what's wrong, but there's clearly something wrong, but I can't not start him. I can't not play him for this game. And I think ultimately he's, if he does play this game and he does do well enough, then he's frankly earned a month-long holiday at the expense of the club. So just 90 more minutes, Ryan. You can do it up front. And behind him, I've got Bundu and Whittaker. So I think that's only a couple of changes from Ben. So we're on a very similar page. I'm going back to a lot of what's been said about the style. Does it necessarily suit? Is it necessarily something that we think is going to inspire us? No. No, I don't. It just goes back to the point before that I think making too many changes now would be perhaps a bigger mistake. So that's the team I'm going with, and I hope it's enough.
Go on, anything to add on the two boys' selections?
Yeah, I go slightly different, although I like aspects of what's been said by both. Obviously, Cooper in goal. I think Adam said Plegge, Scar, Gibson as a back three, which I would go with. I would start Sorinola at right wing back and Galloway at left wing back. I think that the threat that they pose with wide kind of mazy attacking players means we're going to have to play kind of a back five at times. And I think Sorinola has impressed me. You know, while I'm not hugely like enamored of thinking he's the best player ever or anything like that, I think he's impressed me up against players who are quite mazy and technical in games where he's played, where that has been the case. And I just think Galloway is a very versatile player who on the defensive side of things will keep things tight while also offering an outlet going forward. And there's not really much point resting him at this stage. As long as he's fit to go, I think he should be in the team. I would then play Edwards in midfield. I agree that he should be in there, but I keep him in the position he was in against Millwall to have that. You know, the benefit of his heart and his character and his love for the club, but put it right in the middle of the pitch and therefore in a position where he's not totally vulnerable to hold pace going forward. Although I think I did see a comment suggesting that Edwards did well against Mavadidi in the Leicester game at right wing back. And, you know, if he does start there, I'm certainly not going to be against that, but I would play him in centre mid. I would then play Forshaw if he's at all fit from the start, just to give us a kind of big game head in there, and also because I think he's capable of being a very creative kind of deep lying player. I think him and Edwards actually might be quite a good combination there together for a game of this magnitude. If he's not fit, then Randall, and I certainly would be liberal in terms of using substitutions in that midfield too. If you know, if at halftime things aren't working, get Randall and or Houghton in there, and I would then play Whittaker and Mumba in behind Hardy, go back to that, well, it wasn't a front three at the time exactly, but, you know, go back to those three players who I think have been emblematic of so much of the good vibes and so much of the success that the club has had in the last 18 months and just hope that between them they can sprinkle enough stardust and don't feel like they're having to kind of conserve themselves. You know, they can, as Adam suggested, just have one final push to do it with then, you know, the option to bring on Bundu, Callum Wright, even Wayne, you know, if things aren't going well. In terms of the setup, because obviously I have kind of gone with the same system, I completely agree with Adam on this. I think it's, we can all debate what the best formation is for this side. If we do try something different and new, I'm certainly not going to sort of write that off in instinctively. But for me, I just think this is the time for trying to maximize and juice everything out of what you've got, even if what you've got is very imperfect. You know, we have shown recently that we can do that with that system. I think I saw a question earlier as well, like, which is linked to this, you know, would you go all out attack? And I think it's a tough one, isn't it? Because a draw is really a useless result for us. I think I disagree with Ben, who said it would be a good result. I think either we will stay up because the other result goes our way, or we'll have to win. A draw won't. The draw just seems, you know, the worst of all worlds. So, you know, I think we should go out to definitely try and win the game. That being said, I think if we're too gung-ho from minute one, it's all very well and good to say, well, this is what this team knows, et cetera, et cetera. But we also know that, you know, that was what they were good at when it was a slightly different configuration of players, when Azaz was there, when it was a different manager. And if you go 2-0 down because you're committing too many men up the pitch in the first 10, 15, 20 minutes, then suddenly the conversation becomes not just needing Norwich to get a result against Birmingham, it's probably needing Norwich to beat Birmingham, because then we're worried about our own goal difference. And, you know, we all have horrible memories of losing by a lot of goals at home on the last day of the season within the last 2 years. So, I think we need to be prudent in that sense, but I think we need to show more than we showed against Millwall, more than we showed against Stoke, in terms of trying to be ruthless, play the game at our pace. I don't think we should, you know, invite them to come down and sort of play their way and do last ditch defending. But I think we need to be, a little bit intelligent about it as well, and not go just too kind of suicidal right from the off.
Sorry, John. I was just quickly say that the one thing that does speak for all-out attack is we're not as clinical as we were at the start of the season. You know, we were like exceptionally clinical, and as we sort of predicted, that's dropped off. And we've seen, you know, we had like five chances against Millwall, and we just didn't. They, you know, Whittaker was through, and if he had been in confident form, you'd expected him to take that early. But he wanted to take a few more paces, get close to the keeper, kind of try and make sure, and then got tackled back. So, whereas we could rely perhaps on being defensive and just putting away one or two rare chances, it's probably more likely that if we do want to go for the win, we will have to go more attacking, like you're suggesting.
Yeah, no, I think I'm certainly not. I don't think we should play for a draw. But then again, as discussed earlier, I don't think we did play for a draw yesterday. I think because we're at home, we should try and dictate the tempo. We should try and play on our terms. What we shouldn't do is go kamikaze. And to be fair, I don't think we did that. Even under Shuey, I wouldn't necessarily say that was how we approached games, although sometimes it kind of looked like it. So that would be my lineup. But I can see the case for disagreeing with, well, not all of the selections I've said. I find it a bit strange that you wouldn't have Hardy in from the start, Ben. Personally, it's probably the one that I feel there's just not really much point in keeping him in reserve for anything at this stage. And whatever he's got, he just needs to plow through it for 90 minutes. And as Adam said, he can... you know, I'll personally chip in for the Ryan Hardy recuperation fund. Otherwise, you can see
him come on. I'd like to see him come on early in the second half against legs that have played a half. I think personally, we'd get, you know, there is such a good defence, tiring him out against those centre backs who are quality for the first 45 minutes. I'd rather try and see the first half out 0-0 and then give him 45 minutes against, you know, legs that are already starting to tire. Than sort of using him up in the first. It's more about trying to maximise. Is he going to be more effective for 45 minutes against tired legs, or sort of 60, 70 minutes against fresh legs, or legs that are tiring at the same rate? And that's kind of my reasoning on that. But I'm happy to disagree on that.
Yeah, I don't hate that. I guess the counter argument would be that under Shuey, when we had those good home results, very often we would, certainly against teams who are sort of a higher station to us, thinking about Norwich and Sunderland in particular, we killed the game by half time, or more or less killed it by half time. Now, again, we were being very prolific and very clinical at that stage of the season to an extent that we're not now. But, you know, I think we need to strike a balance between, again, not going suicidally gung-ho, but also not being really cagey and playing for a result that may or may not come. I think we need to try and find that happy medium, which is obviously something we've struggled with a lot in recent weeks. And so I think to that end, I'd rather have Hardy on from the start and try and, as you put it earlier, you know, have the full kind of spectrum of sort of attacking talent that we have available to us from the start. And then if he's tired, then bring on maybe Bund or whoever for fresh legs, will push Whittaker through the center. Ultimately, it's a crapshoot, isn't it? It's one game, it's a straight shootout, and I think that's probably going to be more important than sort of overthinking it in terms of the formation or the team selection or whatever. It's going to be about who turns up, it's going to be about the atmosphere, it's going to be about taking our chances. So one, you know, it's a football cliche, I'm sure, having a field day with this, but it's really a cup final. With the possible benefit that we don't have to win it. But if Birmingham get a result, we do. Draw's not going to do it.
Let's round it off then. An hour and 32 we've been going tonight. Just under 1,000 people watching live. If you are joining us now, because we've had a big surge of numbers recently and you have missed tonight's episode, it will be available on YouTube, Twitter, X, after this. And also for the audio listeners, we very much value your support as well, and it will be out on your usual podcast platforms tomorrow. Very briefly from you all then, let's get some scores. This is the moment we've all been waiting for. Ben, the full-time score, Plymouth Argyle versus Norwich at Hull City is
4-2 Plymouth Argyle.
Fucking hell. Adam,
2-0 Hull City, and we survive because Norwich and Birmingham draw.
John?
Yeah, I actually was going to say exactly the same as Adam. I do think we have reasons to be optimistic. I think we're going to turn up, and I think we're going to be competitive, and I think we're going to give it a really good go. But I also think they've got something to play for and a lot of quality as well. But, you know, probably the other result will go our way. And that's as far as I see it, that's a statement of fact, not being naive or saying, obviously, you know, that Birmingham can't win that game. Just stands to reason that better teams will normally beat poorer ones. Particularly a team in Norwich who have been just in unbelievable form. I think they've only lost 3 games in total since Christmas, right? So be a very bad time for them to lose a 4th. And I'm certainly not saying it can't happen. I'm certainly not saying that at all. But yeah, I guess if I'm a betting man, I'm thinking that maybe both of these games go to form and that will be enough for us.
Stands to Reason is going to be the title of the podcast when Jay Stansfield pops up with the 93rd minute winner, isn't it?
I wasn't even trying to do a pun on that. I think Birmingham, even under Rooney, when they were absolutely terrible, and really, if we stay up, it's him we have to thank more than anyone else, or I guess their idiot owners for sacking Eustace, who was doing a perfectly fine job. But, you know, even then, when they came down to Home Park, I thought they were pretty good against us. You know, they've got some lively players, including the aforementioned Mr. Stansfield, and they can hurt teams. And obviously, you know, if Norwich are in the mindset of, we've basically booked our place in the playoffs, we don't really have anything to play for, then yeah, absolutely, they could beat them. I certainly don't think it's like a totally unlikely outcome or anything, or it was sort of completely implausible or anything like that. I guess I just think that Birmingham have had a couple of gilt-edged chances to get themselves out of the mire with 2 away games against the 2 poorest sides in the league, ultimately. I mean, that's pretty much definitive that is the case now. And they haven't taken them. Failing to even beat Rotherham is, I mean, I know there's a home away form kind of question here, but I mean, even we with our absolutely terrible away form won at Rotherham. So, you know, it's not a team that are necessarily in a rich vein of confidence, or look like they're playing particularly fluid attacking football. And also with Norwich, I mean, like, I get the narrative that they're, you know, that they might be on the beach, but at the same time, like, they do have something to play for. They're not locked into, first of all, I mean, they, you know, in theory, they could fall out of the playoffs, so that's exceedingly unlikely. But, you know, they want to finish 5th, I assume. If it were me and I were them, I would probably want to face Southampton in the playoff semi-final over 2 legs on Southampton's current form than taking a gamble at whoever comes 3rd, although obviously Norwich do, as we know, live rent-free in the heads of Ipswich Town, and if Ipswich finish 3rd, maybe they would want to play them in the semis, I don't know. But, you know, I think just on balance, I would want to play Southampton. I would want to finish as high at the league as I could to try and make that happen, and make West Brom, who are on shaky form themselves, play the the team that miss out in the kind of three-way promotion crapshoot. That would be my advice, you know, instruction to them. If I were David Wagner, I would not be saying go out and, you know, play like you're on the beach, or go out and play a weakened team. I'd want to go into the playoffs with momentum and give myself the best chance of a more favourable on paper fixture. So I think they do have something to play for, and I'm hoping that that, combined with Birmingham's kind of shaky recent form, will be enough. But yeah, in terms of us, I struggle to see us getting it done, just because I think Hull are very, very good. But I really hope that I'm wrong.
Excellent. That was, I asked for quick, concise result predictions.
You should know that's pointless.
It took us 5 minutes to get three scores out of the panel. For what it's worth...
three scores in 5 minutes on Saturday would be great.
Because I have a platform to do this, I'm going to give my prediction, and I actually think there's a lot of panicking over nothing going on personally, and I actually do think that we might win this game.
Birmingham Twitter is salivating over this, Joe. The edit sure functions are being prepared.
I'm sure it is, and they can keep right on scrolling as they look through the League One table next year to find out where they're going, because I really do think that we're going to turn up for this. I know we haven't in recent weeks, but I think this is above all else. And there's going to be a lot coming out of the club between now and Saturday. We're going to be thrown a lot of promotional videos and messages from the players for everyone to get behind. So very quickly, we are going to be heading off in the next couple of minutes, but I'll quickly run you through the permutations that lie ahead on Saturday. It's quite simple, basically. Unless Birmingham better our result, we don't have to worry. Huddersfield are all but gone. It would take an almighty seismic change for them to get out of it. But Birmingham simply have to better our result. Obviously, if they do that, then there are permutations to fall into place with that, and we will be relegated. But let's hope it doesn't come to that. Sheffield Wednesday and Blackburn aren't yet safe themselves. Sheffield Wednesday face the easier task of the two. They play Sunderland, who are in absolutely no form whatsoever and probably can't wait for the season to end. And Blackburn Rovers have a really tough game against Leicester City, who I'm sure aren't going to be taking their foot off the gas at the end of the season. So there's still potential for it all to change on the final day. It often does. There was a question came in earlier from the Crazy Pilgrim saying, let's hope the ref doesn't have an impact. Do we know who it is? No, we do not. We will find out tomorrow afternoon who has been appointed to the game. I suspect, given that there are connotations at both ends of the table, the EFL will be reaching for one of their safest pair of hands, whoever that may be. I don't think there are many. We may have to delve into the Premier League to find a referee for this one. But look, that's it. An hour and 40 minutes we've been going. We've discussed Millwall. We've discussed questions, full-time thoughts. We've given your predictions and the lineups for Saturday's game. And what a game it promises to be. 12:30 at Home Park. Hull City come to town. The winner does take it all. It's a 90-minute shootout with the prize at the end of it, around £15 million from our point of view, or about £4 million if it goes wrong. Thank you to Adam, to Ben, to John. Thank you to the 1,000 of you who are currently watching live. It genuinely does take us aback that 1,000 of you choose to spend your Sunday evenings with us, but we really do enjoy it. Keep an eye out, as I mentioned earlier, we are back live next weekend. I can't remember if I'm hosting or Aaron's hosting, but one of us will be back here next Sunday. I mean, I won't be here. I'll be back in Plymouth next Sunday, but I won't be coming to you live from Milton Keynes. Indeed, I won't be coming to you live from Milton Keynes again for the foreseeable future. But we will be back next week. We then have a live episode scheduled for the midweek afterwards, regardless of the result in the Hull game. So do keep an eye out for that. Set your reminders. I think it's the Wednesday night. We're going live. There's a whole group of us, another plethora of your favourite green and white podcast panellists coming together to look ahead to the summer and beyond.
And me.
And John. Yes, and John. And we might even manage to get a guest appearance out from Bognor Regis's new number one fan, Sam Down. But that's it. keep the faith, say your prayers, you know, do your rosary beads, do whatever you can between now and Saturday to get yourself ready. It is going to be a roller coaster of emotions. Trust me, there are going to be highs on Saturday afternoon. There may well be a low at one point, but I'm sure that come 3 o'clock, the city of Plymouth will be absolutely bouncing as we will ensure our survival in the championship. If we don't, then I'll probably step aside on Sunday night for somebody else because I won't be able to take the shame. But cheers to the lads for joining us. See you all next week when hopefully we're still a championship club. Night all.
Night.
Night, Joe.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com. Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.